This is Fresh Air. Alger Hiss. For 4 decades, his name has been a symbol of the Cold War. He was either a traitor spying for the communists, or he was the victim of fanatical red baiting. Now at the age of 88, there's been some recent good news for Hiss. The head of the military intelligence archives of the former Soviet Union has searched the archives and said he found no evidence that Hiss ever spied for the Soviets. But this Russian official acknowledges that some KGB files have been destroyed, and there is a separate Ministry of Defense archive which he has not been through, so his findings can't offer unequivocal exoneration. It was 44 years ago that Hiss was accused by Whitaker Chambers of stealing State Department documents. Chambers was testifying before the House Un-American Activities Committee. In 1951, Hiss began a 3-year prison term on a related perjury conviction. Hiss's son, Tony, was 7 years old when his father was first accused of spying. Now Tony is a staff writer for the New Yorker magazine, and he recently wrote a piece called My Father's Honor about the recent good news. We invited Alger and Tony Hiss to talk with us. It's ironic that the Hiss case, one of the most controversial cases of the Cold War, is back in the news at a time when there's a whole generation of Americans who barely recognize the name.
Anyone under 40 doesn't seem to have too much familiarity with the name, or it's just a name that they've heard somewhere and they can't tell you too much about it. But since so many wrong-headed assumptions were built on the wrong assumption of my father's guilt, I think it's very helpful to have the record set straight. Even now, many, many years later.
What kind of wrong assumptions are you talking about?
That people during the Cold War period, there was a legitimate concern about what our adversaries overseas might be up to, but unfortunately that led to a kind of situation that we weren't prepared for in this country. We were so nervous about the communists doing something to undermine our morale that without our realizing it, our own perceptions got distorted, and we began to look at honest men like my father as somehow suspect, and began to look at the people who would accuse them as somehow more believable.
I was reading a 1947 current biography entry for Alger Hiss. In current biography, it's kind of like an encyclopedia of short capsule bios of well-known Americans. So this was in 1947. This was just before the accusations started. And it quotes Time magazine as describing Alger Hiss as a young, handsome, relaxed, and alert person amid innumerable annoyances. An illustrious capsule biography about the work with the Roosevelt administration, and I think you had just recently become the head of the Carnegie Endowment. And then shortly after this entry was written, your life changed, what people thought of you changed. You know, the first things that came to their mind would have been different than what was in here. What was it like for you to, like, very suddenly have a completely different public image than you had before? You know, to very suddenly be at the center of controversy, to very suddenly be a symbol of the Cold War?
Well, I was aware of what McCarthyism was bringing to the country and how the Cold War had distorted various attitudes. So that stood me in good stead, and I knew my own innocence, and one simply relies on one's personal integrity and perseveres. There's nothing else you can do. You just try to correct the falsities as rapidly as you can. So I was so busy trying to correct things that I think I have never thought of myself as, quotes, a public figure. I have done things that I thought were for the public weal, and certainly at San Francisco, where I helped in the foundation of the United Nations, I felt that the work we were doing was beneficial not only to our own country, but to the world at large. And that sense of my own opportunity to be useful, both at home in the New Deal and at the broader stage at the United Nations, certainly never deserted me. And that has always been a consolation.
Alger Hiss, did you often ask yourself, why me? Why did they choose me?
Oh, sure. Obviously, I wasn't the only one. There were many people who were hounded, and the person who immediately preceded me on the list of the House Committee on American Activities was an Assistant Secretary of the Treasury named White, and he had been hounded, obviously, and attacked by Chambers, the man who made the charges against me. And Harry Dexter White had stood up nobly before the committee. But he had a bad heart, and he had sent a doctor's note up to the committee chairman saying he shouldn't testify too long at a time. The strain might prove too great. And the committee tended to ridicule that as though he was simply trying to get out of answering questions. They forced him to go on. And a day later, he had a massive heart attack and died. And the moment that happened, they switched to me. So that's one answer of why me. The person ahead of me on the list was killed by their charges, and they realized what a bad public image for them that would be, and so they decided to pick somebody else, and that happened to be me. But if it hadn't been me, it would have been somebody else. This was one of the needs of those who were fomenting the Cold War, to have this kind of alleged spy activity.
My guests are Alger Hiss and Tony Hiss. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Alger Hiss and his son, Tony Hiss. Tony, as you started to get older, did you start spending more and more time investigating the details of your father's case? Did the details of the case take on a new meaning for you? And how much of your life were you willing to devote to immersing yourself in what became this kind of increasingly complicated story with all these arcane twists?
Well, I don't know that I think there are only half a dozen people in the world who are complete masters of the intricacies
right.
of that case, and I'm not one of them. I think that the intricacies of the case are one of the things that have sort of helped blind people to the realities of the situation.
Yeah, how so?
Well, just because it's so complicated that very few brains can keep all the facts in play at the same time, but many of them are there just to obscure the truth and the fact, for instance, that so much of what was alleged at his trials, it only turned out 30 years later, was known at the time by the prosecution not to be the truth, that they had concealed it, but these facts were in the government files that were kept secret until in the 1970s, my father was able to sue under the Freedom of Information Act to have his files released to them. So one of the reasons the case is so confusing is that the time frame is so confusing. There were charges made in the 40s about events alleged to have taken place in the 30s, but many of the facts were concealed until the 70s. So it's hard for anyone to keep up with something like that.
Are there people who you know who are obsessive in their detailed knowledge about your father's case, just as there are some people who have kind of devoted their lives to the Kennedy assassination and know all this detailed arcane knowledge about it? And if you've met people like that, how has it struck you to hear them talk?
Well, it's sort of like meeting someone who's a a buff of baseball statistics in some way. I mean, someone who can tell you exactly what Ty Cobb batted every year in his career. Those facts slip through my mind very quickly. These people are wonderful, warm-hearted, dedicated people, moved by a sense of outrage. They can't rest until some kind of justice is done, and I admire them for their efforts.
How did you feel when Richard Nixon, who was instrumental in the prosecution of Alger Hiss, became president of the United States?
I thought he was the kind of man who would not make a good president, and I predicted to friends that he would end up as one of the most unpopular presidents we'd ever had. So it was no surprise to me when years later he came a cropper and actually resigned in order to avoid impeachment.
Tony, what was your reaction?
I voted for Humphrey.
Tony, do you think that your father's case had anything to do with you becoming a journalist, somebody who observes the world and looks for truths and so on?
Well, it may well have, Terry, but I think probably in the early days it was more the other side of it. Not so much that journalists sought truth, but that journalists somehow seemed safe when charges were swirling. They were off to one side and didn't get hurt by it. So that may have been unconsciously a certain appeal to me when I was much, much younger.
Was this a fear of yours of being a target like your father had been?
Well, it wasn't so much being a target, but just not being one again. But I'm very glad I became a journalist because I think it is important to try to understand situations and help other people understand situations too. And I've been lucky enough to have had many years at The New Yorker now to try to perfect my skills.
Alger Hiss, how is your health?
For somebody who's just reached 88, pretty good. The infirmities of age are not a myth. There are infirmities, but I have found them more indignities than actual infirmities. My eyesight is not good. I can't read to myself anymore, but friends have come in and read aloud to me. That's been a great help and great pleasure. And my hearing is not as good as it once was, so that my enjoyment of music has been somewhat reduced, just as my eyesight has been. I have not been able to enjoy going to galleries and museums with the same frequency as before. But I think my health is pretty good.
Would either of you describe yourself as bitter?
I don't think of myself as bitter. I have anger at J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director, who I think was largely responsible for the falsities and the improprieties in my trial, and for having leaked false information to the House Committee on American Activities Committee, and in every respect it acted the way a public servant shouldn't. Since I was a public servant, I have been particularly annoyed, angered at J. Edgar Hoover's improprieties as a public servant.
Tony, what about you?
Oh, no. I'm very happy, and I'm thrilled to have had a chance to be the son of Alger Hiss, because he's such an extraordinary person, and I've learned so much from him that I doubt I could have learned elsewhere.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having us in.
Thank you.
Alger Hiss and Tony Hiss.